to experience the evolution of action motorsports coverage. The motorsports you care about. Cutting edge, high impact, no filler. This is the Down and Dirty Show, fueled by Speed Energy Drink. And here is the man bringing it all to you, Jimmy Beaver.
Everybody's doing good today. I know I had a great weekend. It was actually a little bit of a relaxing weekend. Watched a little bit of Supercross on Sunday, and that was about it, really. You know, it seems like in action motorsports is like it's either raining and pouring or nothing's happening at all. You know, and this weekend was one of those. We had Supercross, and that was about it. Then you've got this upcoming weekend where we've got World Rally Championship, San Felipe 250, Supercross from Daytona, we've got Snowcross. I mean, it's going off, and it's just kind of crazy the way everything seems like it stacks up. We have the huge weeks, and then we have the small weeks. But speaking of weeks, I want to thank everybody that tuned in last week. We had over 80,000 people tune in to hear Brian Deegan on air last week, and that really is an all-time record. I mean, you know, we've had over 300,000 people, unique listeners, in the past year, you know, come and go, and, you know, and that's not on a weekly basis, but, you know, geez, over 80,000 people last week, and, you know, granted they weren't all live, and some of them were over the course of the week, but that's just a tremendous amount of people to listen to one show, and, you know, and it looks like we're growing still by like 10, 15,000 people a day, so just tremendous. We're going to get to our guest here in a minute. Looks like he just showed up in the queue, Greg Adler. Let's see if we can get him on the line. How's everything going, Greg?
Excellent. How you doing?
Oh, pretty good. Well, how was your weekend?
You know what? It was actually pretty decent. We tested the Pro 4 for the first time since last season, and, man, major improvements there, so I'm pretty pumped about that.
Well, yeah, we're sitting here, I believe, 2 weeks away from the opener. I mean, you know, you had you finished top 10 in Pro 2 points last year. How, you know, what are we looking at for this season?
You know, we were super competitive in the Pro 2. We ran the Pro 4 program last year, and it really helped slow everything down in the Pro 2. Probably the best thing I got out of Pro 4 besides getting my ass kicked a little bit was that it jumping in the Pro 2 just seemed easy. Felt like, you know, being back home. So we were really competitive. We just had some DNFs that hurt us, and you know, it's a tough bunch out there. But you know, we had a bunch of podiums, a win, and look to do more of that in the Pro 2. And like I said, with the Pro 4, it was definitely a work in progress. We just learned a lot and made some major changes. Just, you know, you never get as much test time as you want, but the fact that we went out just on Saturday and could, you know, just the truck's way more drivable. So really starting to look forward to Pro 4 a lot more.
Well, and here's a question. I mean, and I finally this past January was kind of able to put things into perspective. I mean, I've always been in two-wheel drive, rear-wheel drive trucks and, you know, 800 horsepower and everything. And I got invited out to test a global rallycross car. And going to the all-wheel drive was such a switch. And, I mean, it literally is a total different driving style. I mean, you racing both Pro 4 and Pro 2, and we're talking back-to-back where you're just in one, you know, get in the other, you know, and switch back and forth. I mean, from a driver standpoint, I mean, is it pretty tough for you to switch back and forth? Because I know the style of driving varies completely. You know, they're completely different.
Yeah, you know, it's a little easier in that we go Pro 4 first, and, you know, that's, you know, a little bit different style, like you said, from what I've been doing for the last, you know, 5 or 6 years with the Pro 2. So, you know, we jump into Pro 4, and, you know, those things are just, you know, animals. You're just kind of hanging on, and it's easy for, you know, to kind of drive a Pro 4 more like a Pro 2, and if when you do that, you're not fast. So, yeah, we definitely try to screw on the Pro 4 helmet, the Pro 4 mindset, and drive it the right way. And like I said, some of the changes we've just made are going to help along that way. When I jump into Pro 2, you know, it gives you what it gives you. You know, there's no front wheel pulling. So, you know, it just, you get what you get with it, and you can only do so much. And like I said, the biggest difference for me is that the Pro 4 was just so violent and so busy with the manual transmission and, you know, driving that thing the way it needs to be driven, or trying to anyway, that when I got in the Pro 2, it gave me what it would. Everything was just felt like, you know, a little bit of, I won't say slow motion, but slowed down. And we're just wheel it around like you can, where you can get traction. So the order they give it to us in Pro 4 first, I think, helps me. And like I said, it's helped everything with the Pro 2 as well.
Well, let's talk about a little bit about the Lucas Oil package in general. I mean, you know, you've got obviously four wheel parts, you know, which is a huge part of off road. I mean, you know, we could go on about that, and we'll get into that in a little bit. But I mean, you know, the package that Lucas Oil puts out there. I mean, you know, you could be running a trophy truck, you could be running, you know, a global rallycross car, you could be running short course, you could pretty much be doing whatever you want. But you choose to be in Lucas Oil. I mean, what is it about the series, the package they put out there that's great for your business?
Well, I think you just said that, you know, that word package. I mean, it's, you know, the racing's great. The show they put on is great. The TV package is incredible. And they're just really, really great people to work with. So from a business standpoint, for us to invest money in off-road racing and try to, you know, it's always hard to get, to know where your return's coming from in any kind of advertising. But for us, you know, the Lucas off-road package is almost a no-brainer. So while we try to, you know, play in some of the other arenas and, you know, be out there and sponsor guys and show some commitment to the other side of off-road motorsports, yeah, that Lucas package is just, you know, hard to beat.
Well, and, you know, we're going to skip all around here today, so I apologize. But, you know, it's just in my mind, and I know, you know, seeing some vehicles out there, you know, some four-wheel parts vehicles at King of the Hammers a couple of weeks ago. You know, from both a driver standpoint and a business standpoint, I mean, you know, can you believe how huge that event's got? I mean, and the amount of people that are actually there?
Yeah, no, it's incredible. I mean, that thing just keeps growing like tenfold every year. And, you know, it's such a unique event that they put together, and, you know, the desert racing combined with just the toughest rock trails in the country, and you get to do them twice and do them at as much speed as you can. So that event, by, you know, just the way they built it, the way they marketed it, has been phenomenal. And so we've been out there, as, you know, Full Parts has been out there for about 5 years now. And, again, that's another one where we feel like, you know, it's great value for us to be there. You know, tons of our customers are out there, not only, you know, checking out King of the Hammers, but they're out there at Johnson Valley on a, you know, every weekend kind of basis, playing around with their trucks and Jeeps and, you know, ATVs and UTVs. So, you know, for us to be out there, it's great. Like you said, it's just amazing the growth of that deal. And, you know, we've competed. I've competed in the last, probably 4 years or 5 years now, and had a fun time competing in it too. So it does bring me back to a little bit of my desert roots, and then throwing some serious rock crawling in as well.
Well, and from an off-road business model, you know, with four-wheel parts, I mean, you know, I'm just thinking back to, you know, just back to like the 80s where, you know, lift kits became huge, you know what I mean? And aftermarket shocks and stuff like that. And then, you know, today it's just, you know, it's become so extreme with some of the builds that guys are doing and just for daily drivers and stuff. I mean, you know, as a business, you know, how have you seen the industry change in the past 15, 20 years?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's, you know, it continues to evolve like so many things. And you know, it's for us, you know, we're fortunate to, you know, be the size that the business is, thanks to a lot of things that, you know, my dad did over the years to develop and grow the company. And, And so, you know, as some of the trends change, we catch on to some of them. Some things, you know, we try to realize where we can play in and where we should stay out of, such as, you know, serious fabrication. You know, we leave that to, you know, tons of guys out there that really, you know what they're doing and do a good job there. But we try to supply the stuff that people are asking for, you know, the Fox shocks and the King stuff. And you know, we're getting into more fabrication parts that are available for guys, more pre-run stuff. And you know, so there's just tons of things that are changing. Lots of guys that are doing well in the industry, finding the little niches you know, like you said, lots of things have changed. I mean, the day of the, you know, you don't see as many of the big old lifted 8-inch or 10-inch or 12-inch lifted pickups with 39-inch, you know, 39s or 44s. But you see guys bolting on 39s and 44s onto a custom rock buggy that they built, or the Jeep JK that, you know, when the first four-door pictures came out, you know, people were moaning and groaning. I thought the thing was ugly as can be. But, you know, now I'm staring at my four-door JK that's got 37s and, you know, Dana 60s on it and a Hemi and, you know, tons of guys that got into it. But, you know, that Jeep JK helped kind of save some businesses.
Yeah, and it's, you know, talking about evolving, and, you know, and it's crazy, you know, you talk about, you know, the custom fabricated parts and how you're carrying, like, pre-runner type parts now, and, you know, it's funny, 10 years ago, I mean, all that stuff was custom, you know, custom fabbed in a shop, and now you've got these companies that are, you know, it's basic, you know, custom suspension, but they've been able to package it, you know, so someone like you can, you know, sell it at retail, and it's really kind of amazing how that's come about.
Yeah, like you said, a lot of guys that are doing, you know, building nice systems that are, you know, maximizing travel and not height. And so, you know, we're seeing that trend change. And certainly, you know, when things start to get tough with gas prices and all that, and housing and the whole economy, you know, big lift kits struggled versus, you know, leveling kits. And so, you know, we see trends change and we just try to, you know, have the product that customers are looking for. And you know, there's certainly, like I said, the trend for guys building pre-runners and then the Raptor truck and, you know, forget keeping the Raptor stock, which, you know, it's a pretty good machine right off the floor. But, you know, now tons of different, you know, enhanced suspension systems for those things.
Well, let's get back over to the racing side of things for a couple of minutes. I mean, you know, Lucas Oil, you've been involved in the series for quite a while. You know, such a diverse amount of courses that you guys run. I mean, you know, I look at the new one up in Reno, and that has its special aspects. I mean, Lake Elsinore is just, I mean, it's like a supercross track for short course trucks. I mean, you know, out of all the courses you've run, what's your favorite?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, they're all unique and, you know, a little bit different and pretty fun in their own way. Firebird has been really good to me. We've won a couple races there. And I like, you know, when they get the split lane right up there, it's pretty cool. And so, usually by the, you know, midway through the weekend, everyone's figured out, you know, that the two lines can mix and merge you know, be pretty close. I used to love Speed World, so disappointed to see that thing go away. My truck, especially my Pro 2, just, you know, was kind of built around the bigger tracks out in Crandon and Bark River. And so, you know, a bigger track, a faster track like Speed World just seemed to suit my truck and maybe my driving style. So we always ran well at Speed World. Reno, like you mentioned, that's a really cool track, you know, built into the mountainside, huge jumps, big elevation changes. I had a blast at Reno, and that's kind of another bigger track that kind of suits my truck or trucks. You know, we struggled at Salt Lake at Miller Motorsports Park, but that facility is just incredible. And when we're out there, it's just, you know, it stays light until 9:30. We're you know, trying to figure out what's going on out there, but it's really just a nice place to to be in, and a great track, great facility. And then Vegas, same kind of thing. I don't know. We just struggled a little bit on that track. We've never gotten, you know, great results there. But it's Vegas, so what could be bad?
Yeah, it always draws a crowd there just because I think, you know, after the racing's over, there's still plenty to do.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Let's fast forward. I know, you and Robbie Gordon are obviously good friends. You've been a big part of, you know, his Dakar program. I mean, his desert program, you know, from top to bottom. I, you know, even Four Wheel Parts is, you know, he has sold Speed Energy and helped in that aspect. What are your thoughts on Stadium Super Trucks? And is there any chance we're going to see you in the series at some point?
Yeah, you know, that's a good question. In fact, we just were talking with Robbie the other day about the series and about how, you know, some of the things that, you know, we want to do as Four Wheel Parts to try to help make it go. You know, everybody or, you know, lots of guys remember the Mickey Thompson days and just how cool it was. And you know, if anyone can pull it off, you know, Robbie can. He's definitely got that entrepreneurial spirit and energy. Maybe it's the speed energy, but he's, you know, nonstop. And so, you know, I think that I'm excited to see what happens. I'm hopeful that it's going to work, and Robbie can pull it together. If anyone can, as quick as he has, it'd be Robbie. And, you know, from our Four Wheel Parts standpoint, you know, we're going to participate as a definitely as a sponsor. We're going to try to do things we can in a lot of venues where we have stores to hype up the event, you know, email our customers, you know, give a heads up on, you know, to customers on our website and in our stores. You know, we want to see butts in the seats and kind of help that in that manner. And you know, from a driving perspective, I hope to be able to get in one of the trucks for a few of the races. There's some date conflicts, and you know, then the other side is just, you know, off-road motorsports is expensive. So it was, you know, as much as I'm invested in the short course programs I have now, it's kind of a balance there. So between all that, I hope to get behind the wheel at least for a few of those races, and we at Four Wheel Parts are going to, you know, do what we can to see that side of off-road motorsports grow. And I think it's just going to help short course and desert and everything else that's going on. There's, you know, so much, you know, kind of new energy in all of these things with, you know, Roger Norman taking over SCORE you know, Robbie series and then Lucas and Torque going at it and each stepping up their game. So, you know, lots of intense stuff going on.
Yeah. It's, you know, so, you know, I won't say outsider looking in, but just from a standpoint of stepping back and looking as a whole, I mean, you know, just the health of the off-road industry right now seems like it's definitely on an upswing, especially with the economy. I mean, me being in the car business, you being in, you know, the aftermarket business. I mean, you know, it definitely, you know, the past 5 years haven't been exactly, you know, exciting. But it's great to see, you know, like you said, the energy back and, you know, and almost like a light at the end of the tunnel, new blood and, you know, and more sponsors getting involved and different sponsors from outside, you know, companies, you know, that traditionally haven't been involved in off-road motorsports.
Yeah, and that's, you know, that's big. I mean, getting those non-endemic guys into the sport and to help with, you know, the series, but help with the drivers too, is key. And with the TV time that, you know, Lucas is putting out and, you know, Torque's doing a good job there too, and with Robbie's new deal and his TV package, and then I'm sure, you know, Roger's going to do some things that, you know, for a long time, you know, the desert's just such a, you know, I'm just preaching to the choir, but it's such an awesome adventure, you know, whenever you get in, you know, you take the green flag at a desert race, and trying to tell that story right is a challenge, but I'm sure Roger will take some steps forward there. So a lot of good stuff happening. As you said, in the industry, yeah, man, it was a battle. And you know, from being in the car business, that in 08 and 09, it was, you know, only the strong survive, and you had to do whatever you had to do to get by. And it was just a really, really challenging time. And, you know, now things are kind of getting back to, you know, pre-recession levels as far as customers and sales and truck sales. And so all those good things are all those good signs are coming back, which is great. So definitely a lot more fun to run the company in better times and improving times than what we were in a few years back.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, before we let you go, 2013, what can we expect out of you guys, and what are some of your goals, and you know, any surprises you're gonna drop on us at some point this year?
Well, let's see. I mean, certainly with the Lucas series, you know, we feel like we have a very competitive Pro 2 package that, you know, we're up there fighting in the front, and, you know, we expect to get some more wins. You know, we beat Deegan to the line, and then I lost one that still is painful to Marty Hart in Reno. I still wake up with cold sweats from doing that one. So more wins with Pro 2. We definitely think, like I said, just big strides in our Pro 4 program that is going to help us, you know, get up front and compete up front all year long. I know there's some new guys, well, not new guys, Rob Mack has a Pro 4, and I think there's some other Pro 4s coming out, so the competition keeps getting tougher. But, you know, just battle for wins and hopefully be in the right place with the championship points at the end of the season to be making some noise there. And, you know, short of that, you know, maybe some stadium stuff if it works out. And trying to think, no major surprises, but I guess some would say if some Pro 4 wins come our way, that'd be a surprise, but that's not how we're looking at it.
Yeah, for sure. Any chance we're going to see in the next couple of years maybe back in the desert for the Baja 1000 or maybe, you know, the Mint 400 or one of the bigger events?
You know what, that there could be a surprise there now that you mention it. So, you know, finally my schedule for some of the work-related stuff and the some other commitments and Lucas' schedule, all that stuff kind of aligns to where you know, we're talking to a couple guys about maybe doing some trophy truck stuff at down in Mexico for the 500 and the 1000. So just be something where we, you know, run a leg or, you know, split the driving or something like that. So so that's a potential that, you know, you kind of get excited about for sure. And you know, you just got to have the time, as you know, for, you know, the desert to pre-run, to get time in whatever truck you're going to drive so you have some comfort level, you know, especially winging it around, you know, the wilds of Baja. So hoping that can happen and yeah, get back out and enjoy it. I'll definitely be down there one way or the other. I missed out the last couple of years because of some scheduling stuff. So looking forward to that. I do want to get up to the Mint and see how Matt – I know Matt's doing, you know, just an incredible job promoting that race and creating a lot of fun. So it's kind of a busy time between a few other things, but I'm hoping to get up there and take in the Mint this year.
Awesome. Well, good luck here, and I believe it's 2 weeks at the opening round of Lucas Oil, and you know, and hopefully we can see you get another win out there at Firebird.
Yeah, it's been good to us. So I hope so too, and. Thanks for having me on. Really appreciate it. And, you know, we'll hopefully talk soon to celebrate a win.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks a lot, Greg.
Okay. See ya.
All right. That was Greg Adler, Pro 4 racer, Pro 2 racer in Lucas Oil. You know, one of the owners of 4Wheel Parts Wholesalers, which, you know, is the largest, I believe, you know, off-road basically superstore in the world. You know, they've got branches all over the southwestern United States, branches pretty much all over the country. You know, they do distribution to auto dealers, you know, and then sell to the general public. I mean, just probably only a handful of guys who is really involved in all aspects of off-road, both motorsports and the retail side. And you know, if anybody's got a pulse on this industry, it would be Greg Adler. And And, you know, it's great to hear him say, you know, that that the off-road industry, you know, obviously 09, you know, 2009, 2008, just tough times for everybody, not just business owners. I mean, you know, you guys know that are listening in, and, you know, it was just a tough time on your wallet as well. And, you know, just great to see and hear somebody like that to say, hey, it is coming back. And, you know, I think it's exciting. You know, it's a great time to be involved in off-road. And like you said, you know, the new blood and the new people coming in and the new sponsors and racers, it's, you know, new courses, new venues, you know, new series. It's just awesome. I mean, you know, you look at the way Lucas Oil's grown in the past couple of years, the way Torque's grown. I mean, Best in the Desert, you know, we had – you know, world, you know, we had a record number of trophy trucks entered at the Parker 425, over 45 entries, you know, just amazing. And, just an exciting, time to be involved in dirt sports. So, so thanks to Greg for coming on, and, definitely check out Foil Parts if you guys ever need wheels, tires, lift kits, just about anything. I mean, they carry it all. So, thanks a lot, Greg, and we'll talk soon. I guess now we're going to cut to a short break. When we come back, we're going to have lots of talk. We got lots of stuff on the agenda today. We've got, obviously, my top fives. We've got a Q&A segment. I took a bunch of questions off of off Facebook yesterday. We got some interesting ones I'm going to cover. So you definitely want to see that. And those of you tuned in, you know, hit me up on the chat board. Let me know if you guys have any questions, and we'll air those in the Q&A segment. And I want to give out a big shout out to my good friend Sarah Roth. Those of you know, she was on air, you know, a few months back, sometime last year. I can't remember the exact date. She's a female rally moto racer from the East Coast. Well, they had their first event of the season, and once again, Sarah coming back with a victory, a top 10 finish overall. First in class, and once again dominated all the men. So little birdie tells me that she's got her eyes set on maybe some Best in the Desert or Works racing this year, because you know, she's kind of dominating the rally moto scene on the East Coast. So those of you that are guys and looking for a potential partner that that can probably outrace you, hit her up, because she may be looking for a riding partner out here on the West Coast. So congratulations to Sarah Roth on the big win this weekend, and you know, starting on the first step of the podium, a new year is always a good thing. So we'll definitely have a whole lot more when we come back from the break.
The Cage is back. Cage Rage 4 at Blue Water Resort and Casino. Full contact MMA cage fighting Saturday, March 9th. The speed, the strength, the rage. Cage Rage 4. Tickets are on sale now, as low as $25. General admission, just $35. Or go all in with ringside seats at only $75. Ask about VIP packages. Get them at the gift shop or online at bluewaterfun.com. Cage Rage 4, Saturday, March 9th. And only at Blue Water Resort and Casino on the Colorado River in Parker, Arizona.
Robbie Gordon Stadium Super Trucks fly into University of Phoenix Stadium Saturday night, April 6th. Action packed off-road racing on a one-of-a-kind high flying car. Come see Gordon and other top names from the world of racing in round one in a quest for the $500,000 SST Championship. As an added bonus, door-to-door Bigfoot monster truck races on the SST track. Get started at $20, kids $10 off at Ticketmaster or the stadium box office. Go Miss Stadium Super Trucks and Bigfoot. Saturday night, April 6th.
Applicable fees apply.
KC Highlights is the worldwide leader in off-road and auxiliary lighting since 1970. KC Highlights is all about quality. Their lights are built tough to last. Inside and out, KC has never accepted anything less than the highest quality materials and workmanship for their products. This drive for perfection has produced some of the most revolutionary products in the industry today, such as the full carbon fiber HID KC Pod, a first of its kind. For more information on the full line of KC Highlights products, like them on Facebook, follow them on Twitter, and visit them on the web at www.kchighlights.com.
All right, we're back from the break. I guess my listeners are telling me you got some audio problems. I don't know if it's a headset. I switched out headsets. If it's not that, it's gonna be the service that we're using. So hopefully they can get things figured out. But anyways, top fives. Yeah, we're gonna get to my top fives, which is kind of like David Letterman's top tens, but my top fives of motorsports and action motorsports. I got a little trouble last week. I guess some people took offense to my top fives. You know, it's meant to poke fun at me, at racing, at people. I mean, it's all in fun. It's good humor. I guess I should be happy that people are listening in and paying attention to me. But I got into some kind of trouble. I got a few text messages. Can't believe you said that. And whatever at this point. I'm going to do it again. And if I make you mad, you know what? You've got no sense of humor. I've been made fun of my entire life for one reason or another. So, have a sense of humor and be happy I'm talking about you, I guess. But anyways, my top fives. Yeah, some of these you guys are gonna recognize. And like I said, this is one time I'll talk any kind of motorsport. So I guess hit me up with any questions if you want me to talk regular motorsports. But here we go. This one's number five is about Formula Drift. Now, those of you that know I'm a big drifting fan, among other things, but you guys have super good car control. But Formula Drift, they just announced their Super Drift Challenge that we're going to talk about. Yeah, Formula D announced a Super Drift Challenge in their invite list of 16 drivers. Reese Millen, Von Gittin Jr., and Justin Pollock all left off the entry list. Three of your four top four in last year's standings. I don't know what they're trying to do, but they must be trying to spread the TV time around or something, because it just doesn't make sense. Your three biggest draws would be left off the invite list to your Super Drift Challenge. Absolutely makes no sense. Number four, Scores Big Fuel Solution. That's right, Scores Big Fuel Solution. Wait until the Baja 500. Seriously, I can't make this stuff up, people. Wait until the Baja 500. Fuelgate, as you all know, the solution to Fuelgate was, we'll just keep it the same and we'll cross this bridge at the Baja 500. Talk about procrastination. All right, number three, and the guys out there may like this one. Number three, Traxxas. Anyone noticed every week that the Traxxas girls keep losing more clothing? Is clothing related to market share? Seems like, the Traxxas team keeps getting wins and, they keep selling more model cars. And you hear about, all this record-setting, numbers. And the Traxxas girls keep losing more clothes at every event. I don't know. To me, it's kind of coinciding with each other. And I guess for the guys out there, it's a good thing. You better hope the Traxxas drivers keep winning. Number two, Dale Jr. Yes, we're touching on NASCAR. I read something absolutely hilarious. So one of my top fives of the week, Dale Jr. Get this. He's detoxing on prune juice and carrot juice to get an edge in the race car. Once again, I can't make this up. Dale Jr. is drinking prune juice and carrot juice to detox, to get his body healthy to win races or something. Seriously. To me, the guy lost his edge when he took the nightclub out of his basement, stopped dating Leanne Tweeden, and went from Budweiser to Mountain Dew. Looking for an edge? I can tell you what I'd do. That nightclub would be going back in the basement, and I'd ditch the dew for a few beers. I don't know. I got to check in on the chat board on that one and see what you guys think. Yeah, I think you guys are speechless. Seriously, Dale Jr. detoxing on prune juice and carrot juice. I mean, I love Dale Jr. I'm a Dale Jr. fan. He's one of the few in NASCAR that I actually like. But, geez, prune juice and carrot juice, why would you do that to yourself? And number one, the rally fans tuning in today, the GRC schedule. Yeah, that's all I have. Yeah, nobody's got a GRC schedule. I don't know, 2013 GRC schedule. Yeah, I'd love to talk about it. Hope Priceline's a series sponsor, because this late in the game, the teams that are running the series are going to need Priceline, because plane flights to all the races are going to be through the roof. We're seriously like a couple of weeks away from the opening round, and still no 2013 schedule. And you guys know I love GRC and love rally, but I had to poke fun at it. I do know it's coming sometime soon, hopefully in the next week, from what I understand, but still no GRC schedule. So that's my top fives. I'm sure I pissed somebody off, made somebody mad. Somebody's going to call and raise heck with me. It always happens. I have learned, though. I have learned that I've got some spies on this show that tune in. Yeah, some lurkers. They won't get on the chat board, but immediately I say something and they send text messages to people. So it is kind of interesting that before I get off air, there's going to be somebody that there's going to be somebody pissed about something I say today. So such is life. Anyway, Supercross in St. Louis was aired on Sunday. How many of you guys that are listening in tuned in? I hope all of you did. Great racing once again. And like I said before, I am so darn excited about Supercross this year. It's just been a battle. Just been a battle. We'll get to the 450s in a minute. 250s. Will Hahn once again with a win. Will Hahn out of nowhere last week with a win. Now he takes another win. So two wins in a row for Will Hahn on the Honda. Dean Wilson on the Kawasaki second. Blake Wharton third. Marvin Mushkin fourth. Jeremy Martin fifth. Your 250 East Point standings. Will Hahn at 70. Dean Wilson was 69 in second. And Blake Wharton in third was 60. So your top three just neck and neck. It's looking like the East Points are going to be a battle. The 450s, man, it was first off, James Stewart, man, this guy is lately he's on fire. I mean, he really is. I don't know if he's found an edge, but the guy is you know, this is the Stewart of old that we're seeing racing. I mean, it really is. I'm excited. You know, James Stewart, you know, he's one of the top draws in Supercross. Definitely one of the top draws in Supercross. And, you know, and he's back on his A game. And speaking of that, Ryan Villopoto, he is back on his A game. You know, he started out a little slow, but you look out when Villopoto's on his A game, it's trouble. But anyways, 450 started out and got three laps in, and Kyle Chisholm with a bad crash over the triples had to be carted off. So it was a red flagged race, you know, and they restarted. It was a staggered restart. They line up in the order that they were when the race was red flagged. So it started Stewart, Barcia, Villopoto, and they had 17 more laps out of the 20 because they had three done. You know, originally, Alessi got the whole shot, and then, you know, obviously on the restart, everything starts over. Stewart took the lead, Barcia second, Villopoto in third on the restart, and Villopoto on a mission, charged past everybody, took the lead, and was never to be seen of again. Ended up pulling like a 4 or 5 second lead over James Stewart. And Stewart, like I said, I mean, he's back in action. I mean, the boys found something in that Suzuki, and he's hot. But, God, Villopoto's even hotter. I mean, that guy is just smoking right now. So Villopoto ended up taking the win, second in a row. Villopoto, they say second in a row? I think it's second in a row. Gosh, all these Supercross events are blending in with me. Anyways, Villopoto with a win, Stewart second, Chad Reed third, Dungey fourth, Barcia fifth, Millsaps your points leader in sixth. Now that leads us to the point standings. Millsaps, you know, obviously he started out red hot this year. He's having a great season. Past couple races, he's past two to, in particular, has been a little slow for Mr. Davey Millsaps. He's still having a phenomenal year, top five results, but his once huge points lead since Villopoto's got on fire has dwindled. We're looking at 189 to 177, so Villopoto's slowly bridging that gap. We've got Dungey in third with 166, Trey Kinnard with 148, and Chad Reed with 147, rounding out your top five. And then you've got Barcia and Andrew Short and James Stewart down there, 6th, 7th, and 8th. So definitely the 450s, unlike last year, it is just a battle. And we're going into next week. We've got Daytona, which is one of the big events. You know, it's just a fun event. I love the Daytona course. They always come up with something different. Huge fanfare, tons of people there. You know, the weather's great in Florida this time of year, as some of our listeners probably know. But it's definitely one to watch, and all the guys want to win at Daytona, which leads me to Honda. Just Honda. Those of you that they're a staple in the motorcycle industry, and they're just always around. But anyways, Honda, they're celebrating 40 years at Daytona this weekend, so they're having a huge thing. 40 years in Daytona, been in Supercross since 1973, or motocross since 1973, and so they're celebrating their 40 year anniversary of being involved in motocross at Daytona. Got a huge tent, all the fans are invited. So if you guys are in Florida going to the event, definitely worth checking out. They're gonna have all kinds of stuff. I think almost like a vintage museum, stuff like that. I've got to say, I mean, Honda, geez, I came to the States in 1959, and it's funny because I've got, this is where I can throw some of my family history into the mix for those of you that don't know, but obviously my family's in the auto business. We were in the motorcycle business for a long time. I've been Ford dealer since 1916. Well, my grandfather, who was good friends with Bill Stropp, those of you don't know who Bill Stropp is, Google it now. The guy is a legend in motorsports. He had his big facilities down there in Long Beach. Well, Honda, this is the 50s, late 50s. Honda, they decided to come from Japan and start marketing motorcycles here in the U.S. And before that time, the Japanese motorcycles were really just kind of viewed as garbage, throwaway bikes, just junk, And Honda came in, came to market with something that really was a great piece of machinery. I mean, you see vintage Hondas selling it and still being ridden around like crazy. Well, anyways, my grandpa, who was, heavily involved in boat racing and stuff like that, spent a lot of time in Long Beach, in his life and, working on boats, and Long Beach Marine Stadium was there, and, he tested boats and stuff like that. And being good friends with Bill Stropp, he spent a lot of time at Stropp Motorsports there in Long Beach. So Honda comes, got to know Bill Stropp because, the same area and industrial complex or whatever. And Honda, got to know my grandpa. Oh, you're a Ford dealer. So they approached him, and my grandpa was like, whatever. I don't want to, they asked him, well, we need to get some dealers for these new bikes, motorcycles. And my grandpa was like, I'm not interested in, the Japanese garbage bikes or whatever. And so anyways, push comes to shove, and I guess they had a couple of cocktails one night, and, this is some executive from Honda, and got to know each other. So my grandpa said, all right, I'll sell Honda motorcycles, whatever, So anyways, this is like right before Christmas, I understand. So I guess, and I can't remember the model number, nothing. All I remember was something like Honda sent there was these little teeny kids motorcycles, sent like 20 of these things. It totally could be cloudy. This is stories from my grandpa who passed away, years ago, hearing these. But so they sent him like 20 of these kids motorcycles, right? And so they come over in crates, and he had a guy that was just, job was to set them up. So they set these things up out on the sidewalk in front of the car dealership like a week before Christmas, right? All 20 of them. They were like, I can't remember, like $50 a piece. And we're talking late 50s, right? So, I know all of us would love to have a motorcycle for $50 in this day and age of any kind. Can't even get a Power Wheels for that. But so they line them up on the sidewalk, all 20 of these things. And within a week, by Christmas Day, all 20 of them were sold. 50 to pop, I think there was like, I think he said like $8 markup in them. I guess it was decent money in that day and age. But anyways, every kid in Parker, Arizona that Christmas got a little Honda motorcycle. And from then on, my grandpa was sold. And so, through the late 80s, my family was Honda dealers for a long time. And one of the first Honda dealers in the country at that point. And, kind of awesome to hear that. Every once in a while, we'll be going through the archives and some old boxes in storage, and we'll find like old vintage Honda signs and old Honda parts and stuff like that. Just kind of cool. But, Honda, I've been involved, in Supercross or motocross since 1973. been involved in, basically selling motorcycles here in the States since 1959. So congratulations to Honda on 40 years. Just a great story there. I mean, really coming from Japan with no fan base in the United States whatsoever and grown into, you know, what they are today, in the power and sports industry is one of the leaders. So I guess now we'll get into our RaceDesert.com hot topic of the week, which is the San Felipe 250. I know I'm going to get it over this one, but you know what? San Felipe, it deserves to be talked about. Obviously the big dark storm cloud surrounding the whole race is this Fuelgate scandal. I don't even know if we want to call it a scandal at this point. There's always he said, she said, and the truth. And at this point, I don't know who to believe. I have my assumptions. I'm not going to get into those. But San Felipe 250, the first score race, the three Baja races are three of the biggest races of the year in desert racing. We've always said, you've got San Felipe 250, Baja 500, Baja 1000 in Mexico, and you've got the Parker 425, the Mint 400, and Vegas Strip, those are the three biggest United States races. Hands down, unarguably, those are the six biggest desert races there is. I don't care who can say what about we've got this entry and this prize package. Those are the six biggest races, hands down, unarguably. Nobody's even going to argue it. Anyways, San Felipe, yeah, like 35 trophy trucks entered, 36 I think I read, which is phenomenal. The big one, Jessica McMillan and Heidi Steele teaming up in trophy truck, which should be awesome to see how those two ladies do. I mean, both of them with a track record. Heidi, class 7 winner and or champion in score. Jessica McMillan, former pro truck champion. I'm sorry, I'm losing my train of thought here, but I think teaming up those two are going to be a force in trophy truck. I think give them a race or two to get it under their belt, but I think they're going to do good. But anyways, looking at the entry list, we've got 35 trophy trucks. Mark Weyrich drawn right off. Drawn first position, which San Felipe is, it's arguably down there. San Felipe and the Baja 500, first position, here in the States, that's what you want. No dust, no nothing. I mean, Mexico, you bring in that other element of, anything can happen. The Mexican people, citizens down there, absolutely love their off-road racing, and they absolutely love to see action, which sometimes causes them to alter the course. I'm taking the nice way around things right now. It causes them to alter the course so that more action could be had. Those of you know around desert racing, what is known as a booby trap. But sometimes second position is a little better because the first guy off the line is the guinea pig. So going by that, got Dan McMillan in second. Maybe that's the hot ticket. But then you got BJ Baldwin, Bryce Menzies, and Juan Carlos Lopez rounding out your top five. So, I mean, all five of the guys that, in front can win this race. Skipping down, I mean, Rob McCachran back there, it looks like maybe 15th. I'm not, I don't know for sure, but should be interesting. The notable one, Robbie Pierce, who is, obviously owner of Mastercraft Safety and Impact, who's the title sponsor. He's all the way in the back. So, I know he's down there pre-running right now. Should be interesting to see how Robbie charges through the field. Cameron Steele, your current points leader. He is back in the pack too, and Cameron knows Baja and San Felipe like no other. So Cameron's going to be very fast, and trust me, he'll know every line. So he should be one to watch coming out of the back of the pack. The other one, Jesse James, he always runs strong. Yeah, that Jesse James, and he's entered. It's been a while since we've seen him in a race. Always got those TV obligations. So should be awesome. I'm sure Jesse's going to be on a mission. Class 1, you've got 17 entries. Justin Matney in the Speed Energy Truggy is going to be first off the line. Luke McMillan, your multi-time Baja winner from last year just won everything in Baja. He's second off the line. So both of those looks to be like they're going to have a battle. 1-2-1600, a dozen entries, you know, and Jesus, course, to be honest with you, this course in a 1-2-1600 car, you know, those of you who don't know San Felipe, it's one of the roughest, most brutal courses you'll ever see. anything in a limited class, props to those guys. It's yeah, it's not fun in a limited class car in San Felipe. Motorcycles, 8 pro motorcycles. Got Robbie Bell on 1, Kurt Caselli, Kendall Norman, you know, all the usual suspects. All 3 of those guys, 1, 2, 3 off the line, and any 3 of those guys can win it. You know, it's stacked to be, you know, it's a stacked field. It's looking to be like a, you know, a great, you know, a great event. We'll just kind of see what happens, and then we'll definitely, definitely be covering it, you know, next week, and have all your winners, and you know, maybe we can get a winner on air. We'll see. You know, the cool thing about San Felipe this year, you know, you know, it's just sad to me. You know, we've got, you know, there's this dark cloud over this race, which is one of the biggest races of the year. I mean, you know, and Mastercraft does a phenomenal job as a title sponsor of putting this on, and Takati has been a longtime sponsor of the San Felipe 250. You know, and I don't think they've got the credit this year that they deserve. You know, behind all of this is a new course. You know, I'm not going to say it's all new and never been run on before, but this is, you know, normally San Felipe, it's called the 250. It's 250 kilometers. You know, usually you're around 200 miles, give or take, probably about 10 either direction. But, you know, this is a legitimate 250 miles. And I believe something like 100, 150 miles of it is new course that hasn't been run on in a long time. I mean, the traditional San Felipe course is brutal. And, you know, and everybody knows it. It's been the same year after year for the most part. And so we're bringing in a new course this year. And, you know, I'm kind of excited to see how that comes into play. And then you know, there's the optional course for motorcycles, you know, the sportsman one, so they don't get in, they don't, you know, get in front of the trophy trucks when they're coming through late in the race. You know, they catch the sportsman bikes and, you know, and hold up traffic. So now there's a shortcut where the sportsman bikes can cut out like 50 miles of course to stay ahead of the trophy truck. So that's not going to come into play, and it's going to allow the trophy trucks to do battle with each other. So I'm kind of excited to see how this whole deal works out. And, you know, I know everybody always wants me to make a prediction, you know. I'm going to say, to be honest with you, if I got to make a pick based on this starting order, gosh, I got a lot of friends in this race, and there's a lot of guys who could win it. I'm going to go with Mark Weyrich from the pole, number 1 off the line. You know, I know the Weyrichs do their homework as far as pre-running goes. You know, they've got phenomenal pit support, you know, an elite-level prep job. They run an elite-level program. I'm going to go Mark Weyrich, wire to wire. He's going to lead this thing wire to wire. You know, it's a one-pit stop race. He's my pick for the overall win. So we'll see if I'm right next week. I've been generally pretty close to being right. So he's my pick, Mark Weyrich. In the Tasco truck to win the overall at San Felipe. So we'll see what happens. I stop stepping on the cords. I'm coming in and out. Yeah, I don't know what's going on with this thing. I've switched. It's the service. It's not me today. I'm sorry for those of you if I'm cutting in and out. I've switched headsets, everything. It's not me. It's the service I'm using. So I'll make a call after this show. Big apologies for whatever's happening. But anyways, let's skip forward. Last week we had a battle at Prim. I didn't get a chance to go over the results because I didn't have them in time, but got a quick jet through these. Unlimited Truck, they had a huge entry field for this battle at Prim. Unlimited, Justin Davis with a win. And he's turning around and he's running the San Felipe 250 here in you know, in this weekend. So you know, we'll see how that comes into play for him and if they were able to get the truck you know, ready to go. Tony Murray with a class 1 win. Class 10, second overall went to Michael LaPaglia, and third overall, second in class 10, Cody Freeman. So great showing for the class 10 guys. Class 12 is Randy Jones. Class 13, Bree Cloud. Awesome job, Bree. And Bree Bradley came in second in class 13. So the ladies showing the men how it's done in class 13. Class 1450, Steve Ologist. Yeah, and that's not your typical 1450 vehicle, let me tell you already. If you don't know, Steve's got a 79 Ford, but it's not a 79 Ford. It's a trophy truck with a 79 Ford body on it. So good thing is awesome. It's a work of art. Just you guys need to go check out the pictures online of that thing. Man, class 1450, that was the one with all the bonus money. I'm looking down here, and 52 entries in class 1450, just a phenomenal field. Class 15 was Scott Rasmussen. Class 16, Luke McMillan. And this was another big, big class. This is the one they shoot out, you know, with a shootout for the extra money. I think we mentioned it last week. Luke McMillan with a win, Brian Freeman in second. And class 1600, class 18, Thomas Morales with a win, Kevin McCowan with a class 2000 win, Eric Trondle with a class 3000 win, Vic Bruckman in class 5, that was 5B. Trust me, I have no idea what these 5As and 5Bs, we get too many classes in off-road racing. Why do we have to make it so complicated, people? Ralph Solano, 5-1600, class 7 was Keith Minix, Nick Lance, 7S, Jacob Davidson, class 9, and looks to me like Joe Patelli with a heavy metal win, and Scott Wisdom in the stock Volkswagen class, and stock full went to Steve Schwab. So that rounds out your winners. We're just kind of breezed over them because that was, you know, the race was a week ago. And then we've got your Laughlin U.S. Hare Scrambles. We had the three lap classes. David Pearson, Robbie Bell with a win. I think we mentioned that last week. You skip down to under 30. Under 30 was Matt Gonsall with the win and Nick Pearson. Your 250 class was Axel Pearson with the win. Your over 40 was Todd Abatrowski and Randy Moose. Your over 30 expert was Zach Dodson and Luke Dodson. Your open expert was Eric and Alex Smith. Your open amateur class went to Corey Moulton. And skipping down here, your 250 expert was Maggie Pearson, a 16-year-old female, and Nate Pearson. So congratulations to her, man, dominating the 250 expert classes. What's the deal? We've got Maggie Pearson here and Sarah Roth, both wins, and the ladies, maybe we need to see them team up, and both of them on KTMs, no doubt. So I don't know. I'm just saying that these ladies are taking to the bikes and throwing it down. Dana Reed with your over 40 expert win, teamed with Sean Black and John Volk. Looks like they all three did a lap. Skipping down to over 50 expert, Mark David, Kelly Hall, and Jim Marchant. And your 250 amateur, Heather Richards and Krista Conway, both out of Las Vegas. So ladies taking another win. That rounds out your three-class lap winners, your two-lap class winners. Tony Gira on a Honda with the Ironman expert win. Ironman amateur went to Brian Morris out of Lake Havasu City on a KTM. And that rounds out your Ironman finishes. Them doing two laps, everybody else doing three. So looks like we're all caught up on results now for all these events. I think we're going to hit up some Q&As. So those of you that are on the chat board, hit me up with your Q&As. We're going to get to those here in a minute when we come back from the break. And trust me, some of these are going to be fun. So stay tuned.
Looking to have some screen printing, embroidery, or design work done? Intense Tees has you covered. Intense Tees provides the highest quality and detail for custom screen printing and embroidery services for corporations, schools, race teams, and all organizations alike. Complete line creation, including designing of an entire corporate identity, product line creation, support promotions, product packaging, exciting banners, polos, tees, sweatshirts, caps, and vinyl decals.
Intense Tees is the official apparel provider for the Down and Dirty Off-Road Show. Find out more on the web at www.intensetees.com. That's www.intensetees.com.
Are you ready for the revolution, the Ford revolution? Well, Parker Motor Company is bringing it to you. We're bringing you the 411-horsepower Ford Raptor, the new turbocharged 252-horsepower Ford Focus ST, and the twin-turbo 365-horsepower Ford Taurus Show. Now, that's not your grandma's Taurus. Join us at Parker Motor Company, where we like to talk cars, treat you right, and show you why we are a 9-time Ford President's Award winner. Parker Motor Company, your hometown Ford and Lincoln dealer.
All right, thanks for staying tuned during the break. Yeah, my Q&A segment, I guess we do this from time to time, and I put it out there this weekend, and it was really really some interesting questions. Some of them serious, some of them really some of them were really really out there. So I'm going to quick flip through the chat board here and see I got one. Okay, my favorite part of racing the Mint 400. Been to the Mint 400 a ton of times. To be honest with you, in a trophy truck, this is the first year I'm going to run it. I've been to the Mint 400 a bunch, but this is the first time I'm going to run my trophy truck there. Just worked out that way this year. But my favorite part of the Mint 400, it's just the experience. I'm going to put it into, let's put it into IndyCar perspective here, okay? IndyCar, the biggest race of the year is the Indy 500, obviously. That's the one, that's the biggest, hugest, that's the granddaddy of all races, right? The off-road equivalent is the Baja 1000. That's the big one. That's the one you want to win. But past the Indy 500, if you look at any race on the schedule, The one that people want to win is Long Beach. It's all about the experience. It's a great venue, tons of people. There's party, there's entertainment, there's other things going on. So Long Beach, it has its special place on the IndyCar calendar. It's not the Indy 500, but it's a marquee event. The value there for winning that is just extreme with the amount of people there. So in off-road racing, we've got the Baja 1000. That's the one everybody wants to win. It's the marquee event, but you've got the Mint 400, and that fits in as basically the Long Beach Grand Prix of desert racing. This year we're going to have rally cars there. You've got the Miss Mint contest. The Pit Crew Challenge is all done on Fremont Street. In years past, they had the parade of vehicles down the strip. You know how hard that is to put together? And then you've got races on Saturday, races Saturday morning, races Saturday afternoon, parties galore. I guess if you wanted to go through the entire week in a drunken stupor, it'd be real easy. It's an awesome event. Last year the winner was on the Times Square Jumbotron in New York City. How big is that? I can't tell you many motorsports that can get you on the Jumbotron in New York City. I don't even know what the formal name of it is. I call it Jumbotron, but you guys know what I'm talking about. But I guess to me the Mint 400, it's all about the experience. It really is. Just a unique event that isn't replicated anywhere, anywhere here in the States or anywhere as far as desert racing goes. So, I guess that's my answer for my favorite part of the Mint 400. Next question we had was, my buddy Ken Anktil. Those of you that are in the rally community, know him as Ken Butch. He's, one of the mechanics for Ken Block's, Hoonigan Racing team. And Ken's, both Ken's are friends of mine, but Ken Butch is a super good guy. And he's putting me on the spot. When are you going to do a rally only episode? Oh, I know. You know, it's funny because I love rally, and you know, I get some people give me crap over it. I get other people that love it. I'll tell you this, Ken, right here. Get your boss, the other Ken, to let me host the show from the 43 Racing headquarters. Let me do it from the new, the fancy new blue shop that you guys just remodeled, and I'll do a rally only show if I can do it from the shop there. So how about that? So we'll see what happens with that. Hopefully I get a text on that one that says game on, because how fun would that be? Those of you that don't know what I'm talking about, I guess you've been in a box. But, yeah, Ken Block completely remodeled his new racing headquarters, and, you know, the offices, and it, just the way – I mean, it's over the top. I mean, you know, you think the fantasy factory that Rob Dyrdek's got, and you know, Ken and him kind of went to war on who's going to have the better facility, and very cool what came about. But I don't know, rally only episode. You know, I could do that someday and book a bunch of rally interviews. You know, I know I'm booked up for about the next 2 months with shows right now, but maybe we can squeeze something in and do rally only episode. You know, we'll have to figure it out. Maybe. It's got to be like something where it's Rally America, Global Rally Cross, and World Rally Championship all, you know, within a certain time frame of each other. But not ruling it out. We might be able to do something like that this year. And I'm serious about doing it from the 43 Racing headquarters, though. So let's see if we can make that deal happen. the next one. Let's see. I'm trying to pronounce the name here. This is a funny one. Elfantanero Loco. Looks to me like I pulled him up, and looks to be one of my fans from Mexico. How did the flat brim craze start? Oh, how did the flat biller craze start? I don't know, dude. I wish I knew. That's just comedy. Yeah. How did the flat biller craze start? I don't know. And I'm not a flat biller. I tell you what, I like my bill curved. I figured that out. I have no idea how that craze started, and you know, the one that's even more bizarre to me is the snapback hat craze that they're in now. You know, it's I grew up in the era of the snapback hat, and I tell you what, when the Flex Fits came around, I thought it was like this revolutionary product, and now all these kids today are going back to these snapback hats. I'm like, why? I love the Flex Fit. Like, seriously, who in their right mind would choose a snapback over a Flex Fit? It makes absolutely no sense to me, but I guess it's you know, like anything, things, you know, trends come and go. It just, the flat bill hat. I don't know, dude, that, how that came about. I have no idea. Here we are talking fashion on the Down and Dirty Radio Show. Who would have thought? And then finally, we've got a serious one on Formula Drift. Derek Waddell writes, who's a friend of mine growing up, so it's kind of cool to see these people take interest in the show. But you got to know him, and he's very into cars and technology, and the guy make an awesome mechanic for somebody. I mean, we're talking not shade tree mechanic. I'm talking like race engineer type mechanic. And he probably already knows his opinion on it, but wanting mine. What are my thoughts on the current trend of V8 drift car domination? Do you think tighter handicaps should be placed on the V8 guys, or would you say that the import guys just need to step it up? Or is, I think the V8 swap is a logical choice financially for most. Yeah, I've actually read a lot on this topic, and you know, this is where you're getting my opinions on a serious racing matter, and it really is something serious affecting Formula Drift right now. You've got the guys like Von Gittin and Justin Pollock in the Mustangs, and guys, you know, in the Camaros that are running these big V8s. I mean, we're talking 1,000 horsepower V8s, and just dominating in Formula Drift. I mean, you know, granted, the other guys are all stepping up their game, but you know, horsepower is always into play. It's horsepower and weight in Formula Drift, because they've got to keep their tires spinning so much. And you know, the import guys, it's hard. You know, you can get 800,000 horsepower out of a V8 very easily. To get that out of an import, out of a 6-cylinder, I mean, you're turbocharging, you're doing this, you're doing that. It's tough. And, you know, and this even came into play this past year even more with the proximity. Those of you not familiar with drifting, you know, obviously you got tandems, but it's all about proximity. They want you to keep close to each other. Well, the problem is you get, like, say, Von Gittin out there in the lead in a big V8 as the lead car, and it's the guy in second's job to stay within, you know, it's all about proximity. Stay as close as you can to Von. Well, with the 800,000, 1,200 horsepower that Von's got under the hood, he can just run away with it. The six-cylinder has absolutely no chance to stay close to Von, and that's where we've come into a problem, because drifting isn't about speed. It's about the skill set of the driver. And so, you know, the other thing that's interesting, I've had a lot of people, you know, ask me, drifting, you know, well, how come it's not new cars? I mean, NASCAR, you see all the latest model body cars. I mean, trophy trucks, we're all late model trucks, you know. GRC, it's all the latest Subarus and Fords, and you know what I mean? You don't see older cars. I mean, they do, but, you know, they're in other classes and stuff. Drifting, I mean, you know, you see all your models of cars. Well, part of the reason is drift cars have to be rear-wheel drive. You can't be all-wheel drive, and you can't be front-wheel drive. I guess technically you could build one, but I don't know why, because there'd be no chance you could run with a rear-wheel drive. I've never heard of a legitimate front-wheel drive drift car. Honestly, it's not even feasible. But I guess, you know, so that's part of the reason why we have the older cars in drifting, is because there's just not that many late model cars other than, you know, the big muscle cars that, you know, that are rear wheel drive. I mean, you're hard pressed to find a lot of import rear wheel drive only cars that, you know, that you can make horsepower out of. So I guess, you know, your question, what do I think they should do? Tighter handicaps. I know they've tried to address it with tire size and stuff like that. I agree with you. I could see, you know, these guys, it's cost them a lot of money in these imports to get the kind of horsepower to compete out of these import cars. I technically could see them allowing a V8 crate motor swap. I could see that. I guess your problem runs into, I mean, you know, you look at Von Gittin's drift car, and I all you that are legitimate hardcore race fans that are listening in, go online and look at the specs on his car. I mean, it looks like a Mustang. That is the technology that's in that car. I mean, through the engine, transmission, and stuff like that. I put that on par with like a Grand Am type race car, you know, or you know, the technology that's in that car is through the roof. And I think still, you know, you're going to have a guy like that, you know, up against, you know, these guys, even with a V8 swap that, you know, I still don't know that they can compete. I mean, granted, yes, it would be cheap and it would get them closer. And then I'm sure that it would put them, you know, it would be all based on, you know, the skill set of the drivers. I don't know the solution here. I agree. I could see, honestly, in the next couple of years, V8 swap as a logical choice. I could see that. Some of these import cars, you know what I mean, throwing in a V8 and calling it good. That way they can compete. Should be interesting, you know, to see how this gets addressed. It's obviously not going to happen this year. And I think the import guys have stepped it up. And, you know, you saw it last year. Daigo Sato, you know, took the win away from all the, you know, away from all the, you know, all the big American V8 cars. So I don't know. It's something we'll definitely keep tabs on. And, you know, something we'll definitely keep tabs on and see what happens. But, yeah, those are some good questions. I'm kind of excited over the Q&A segment. Really cool the way that turned out. I had some great questions and got me ranting on drifting. And yeah, I'm going to try and get out to a Formula Drift event this year and see what I can happen. And working on some big drift interviews. So if you guys don't like drifting, you're probably, you know, I'm not saying we're cutting any off-road or rally or supercross coverage out, but we're definitely going to have a little more drifting coverage this year than we probably did last year. The interest has been there, trust me. Leading to drifting, we've got, we touched on it in the top fives. So we've got the Formula Drift entry list has been announced for their invitational event. It's the Motegi Super Drift Challenge at the Long Beach Grand Prix. Now, we've got the regular Formula Drift Round 1 Streets of Long Beach where, you know, 32 cars down to 16, 8, 4, 2, you know, winner. They're going to do this. $25,000 been put up, purse, for this event. Invitation only. And Von Gittin, Reese Millen, and Justin Pollock have been left off the entry list. I'm sure there's reasoning behind it, but to me, it's just crazy. I mean, you know, you do have Daigo Sato, you know, your winner from Formula Drift last year. He's in there. Dejiro Yoshihara is in there. I mean, you've got Ryan Turk, Matt Powers, Chris Forsberg. You know, you've got all your usual suspects, but the big three, JTP, Reese, and Vaughn, all left off. So I don't understand. And like I said, you know, maybe they are just trying to spread the TV time around. I don't know. And maybe they just didn't care about 25 grand and don't want to race. But, yeah, it is what it is. MIP 400 news. We touched on it a little bit ago and the questions just popped up. But so far, I've got around 150 entries and an additional 50 letters of intent that haven't sent in their entry form. So technically, we got around 200 already. The drawing is this Wednesday. We're still a couple weeks away. My guess is we could probably push 250 entries for this thing. I'm thinking you're going to see around 250 when all's said and done. And the cool thing about that is it's not bikes mixed in. I'm not saying I don't like bikes. I'm just saying, I mean, it gives you a comparable raw number, you know, so, you know, the bikes and the cars aren't, you know, padding numbers, so to say. I mean, it's a hard vehicle count. And so I'm thinking we're going to see close to 250, especially after San Felipe. There's going to be a lot of guys that didn't tear their stuff up there, which I don't know. It's pretty hard not to tear stuff up in San Felipe, but you're going to see some more regardless. So the drawing this Wednesday, definitely be checking out the Best in the Desert website. They recently launched a video series, MIP 400, called Heroes and Legends. And they've done some awesome stuff with that video series, so definitely looking forward you know, to seeing all the videos come out. The heroes are recent winners and of the race, and they're doing like a 5-minute kind of background and interview and highlight reel for them. The legends is where I'm excited. You're going to see these guys from you know, from back in the, you know, back in the day. We're talking the original Mint, like, you know, 70s, 80s Mint. You know, 60s meant, you know, that are pioneers of the sport. Mad Media is going to be following them and doing some, you know, some interesting stuff. So that should be really cool to see how that works out. I would like to announce, I'm really excited. Looks like I'm going to be announcing both the Pit Crew Challenge and the Miss Mint competition for the live stream and, you know, and the people in attendance. So Cameron Steele and I are teaming up, and we're going to be your broadcast team for Miss Mint and the Pit Crew Challenge. So definitely looking forward to working with Cameron, a good friend of mine. And, you know, as you guys know, you know, he's done the X Games, ESPN, just a phenomenal guy. He could probably do the show better than I do. I can, hands down. So looking forward to working with Cameron. Should be exciting, and looking forward to the opportunity. Another big thing, I know you guys have probably already seen it, but Mick Dreamy, as he's known, Patrick Dempsey, has entered the Mint 400 in, you know, in a 01 Odyssey car. So, yeah, Grey's Anatomy Patrick Dempsey, that Patrick Dempsey is going to be in the Mint 400. We're working pretty hard to try and get him on air here, so we'll see if we can make that happen. But, you know, talk about somebody like that. You know, this isn't just some, you know, C-list actor. I mean, he's an A-list actor, going to be running the Mint 400. Talk about the media attention that he's going to bring to the event. I mean, geez, just look at his Twitter following. And, you know, he can post one thing about the Mint 400 and, you know, geez, it gets 100 times the amount of exposure that's, you know, me posting it would. So great to see somebody like Patrick Dempsey come in and run the event. And those of you who don't know, I mean, this guy is legitimate. You know, he's an actor, obviously, but he's a legitimate race car driver. I think he's run Wide Open Baja Challenge before, but very involved in road racing, has his own road race team, Rolex Grand Am Series, very involved in that. I mean, he's done, you know, the Toyota Pro Celebrity races before, but, I mean, hardcore race cars, Grand Am type cars, Porsches and stuff like that, this guy, you know, he can drive them. I mean, he could be a full-time race car driver if he you know, if he wanted to. He just, you know, obviously does acting because I'm sure, I don't want to say it's easy money, but, you know, he you know, he's going to make a whole lot more there than he ever would as a race car driver. You know, I guess, I could have a interesting analogy there about race car drivers being broke, but I'm just going to skip that. But, yeah, Patrick Dempsey, mid 400, that should be, you know, that should be awesome to see him there. And like we mentioned, mid 400, Miss Mint competition, voting is now live. So check that out. And we're also going to have a rally car display, Bilstein Southwest Rally Cup. Is going to have a lot of their drivers with rally cars on display. So hopefully in the next year or so we can actually see some kind of rally event at the Mint 400. But it's going to be great to see the rally cars on display on Fremont Street as well. So those of you that are on the fence whether to go to the Mint 400, I suggest you do it. And not only that, after the race on Saturday, you can skip down a few miles to Prim and take in the Torque. The Torque Prim race, the first Torque round of the year. So we're going to have short course racing, desert racing. It's all there in Vegas at the same time, the same weekend. I mean, you know, if you're an off-road fan, there's absolutely no reason not to be in Las Vegas that weekend. You know, it's going to be just an absolute epic event. Geez, I've got all kinds of news here. And want to also mention my good friend John Tuba. Tuba just launched his Bragging Rights 2 trailer. Those of you that are really into off-road film, Bragging Rights 1 launched last year and just had phenomenal reviews. Tuba does a great job. He just announced the trailer for Bragging Rights 2. It's out. You need to check that out. It's also on my Facebook page. And he's going to have the world premiere of Bragging Rights 2 at the Mint 400. So if you needed another reason to come to the Mint 400, that's your reason right there. So you can see the world premiere of Bragging Rights 2 and grab a copy while you're there. So should be great. And I'm sure that here in the next couple of weeks when he gets the hard copies of the DVD, we'll be doing some giveaways on Facebook and on this radio show for Bragging Rights 2. John does some video work for me. You know, he does a lot of video work for Robbie Gordon, some of the biggest names in the sport. You know, his track record is impeccable. I mean, he's an amazing video editor and does some great things and brings a unique skill set to the off-road video genre. So definitely looking forward to Bragging Rights 2 and checking that out. Upcoming events. Supercross Daytona, we already hit on that. That's a big one. World Rally Championship Mexico, and Ken Block will be running that event. Those of you, I'm sure all of you follow him on, you know, on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, the whole works. He's been in Australia for the V8 Supercars in Adelaide. Their big event of the year, and now he's heading to Mexico for World Rally Championship, and he always does great down there. And God, that's probably my favorite round on the World Rally Championship calendar. That and Monte Carlo. Monte Carlo is just so unique that I love it. But you know, Mexico is got to be my new favorite event ever since the Safari Rally in Kenya went away. And I talked about that before. You know, and we could get into why that event is so great. It's so close to desert racing. It's insane. You know, and it was so long, like 7 days. I mean, it was just a great event. I wish they'd bring that back. But anyways, World Rally Championship Mexico this weekend. We've got Snowcross from Fargo. That's winding down. We've got two events left, Fargo and then the final event of the year. So you definitely want to check that out. Tucker Hibbert's pretty much got it in the bag at this point, though. We've got San Felipe 250 this weekend, Best of the Desert Mint 400. And then short course is firing off. We've got the Lucas Oil opener from Firebird, and we've got the Torque Prim race coming up the same weekend as the Mint 400. So should be, season's ramping up, and we've got GRC kicking off with the event in Brazil here in a, I believe, I can't even think of the date on it. But anyways, GRC X Games Brazil is coming up. Action Motorsports is firing on all cylinders right now. We're really ramping up and gonna have lots of coverage, lots of guests. I can tell you next week we're having our We're having our Lucas Oil preview show. We're going to have lots of Lucas Oil drivers on air, multiple drivers on air. We're going to be talking all about the Lucas Oil Off-Road Series next week. Should be an awesome preview to the season and what's on the horizon. We're going to be going over every course, every event on the calendar. We're going to have multiple drivers and talk about changes to the series this year and sponsor changes, who went where, and should be exciting. So short course fans, you don't want to miss it next week. Then we're going to turn around the week after that. We're going to have a MIT 400 preview show already booked. Obviously, we've got Matt Martelli from Mad Media already booked. We've got General Tire, who is the series or the race sponsor. They're going to be on air. I've got a couple of drivers. We're talking marquee drivers that I believe they're racing San Felipe, but I believe are going to be on air. Definitely AAA type desert racers. So you want to be here for those interviews. And we're working on Patrick Dempsey. So if we can get that all nailed down, it should be an awesome MIT 400 show. And then the Monday after that, we're going to have our MIT 400 Fallout show, and we're going to have the overall winner on air, and we're going to have the newly crowned Miss MIT on air. So, my gosh, we got a lot of shows coming up. Then not only that, we got Stadium Super Trucks kicking off. We're going to have it looks like we're going to work on trying to get Ari Jr. on air. I think we're going to have him at some point. We'll have Robbie Gordon at some point on air talking about Stadium Super Trucks. Man, we got a lot of stuff happening. I don't know. I'm out of breath. But thanks a lot to Speed Energy for helping make things happen. Parker Motor Company, Blue Water Resort and Casino. Check out Cage Rage if you're anywhere in the tri-state area. They got cage fighting this weekend from Blue Water Resort and Casino. So BlueWater1.com, check them out for some tickets. KC Highlights, their new line of LED laser lights. Check them out. Intense Tees, the official clothing supplier of the Down and Dirty Show. UPR.com, check them out, their garage sale section of their website. Always got lots of great deals happening. And Greg Adler and Four Wheel Parts Wholesalers, check them out on the web. And special thanks to Greg for taking the time out of his schedule to come on air. Not easy being a professional racer as well as running a big company. Greg manages to do both, do a great job at both, and not a lot of people can pull that off. So thanks a lot, Greg, for coming on air. And thanks to every one of you. I mean, like I said, over 80,000 people tuned in to hear Brian Deegan last week on air. That's just tremendous, and we're seriously growing by like 10,000, 15,000 listens a day. I have no idea where that one's going to stop, but it just keeps growing and growing. So thanks to all of you, and if you want to hear anything more, see anything new, want to hear somebody on air, let me know. Hit me up on Facebook, facebook.com/downanddirtyshow, and at JimBeaver15 on Twitter and Instagram, and we'll see if we can make it happen. But until then, we'll see you next week when we have our big Lucas Oil preview show. Thanks a lot to all of you for listening in.